So this is as pleasant as this is going to sound the rest of the time, and it may get worse. So we'll just kind of see how it goes. I've tried to steer clear of everybody. I tried to just sit down and not talk, and love you guys. Love seeing you guys. But I'm also just probably a spewer of bacteria at this point. Isn't that nice? So, yeah, and let's be honest, I'm not the only one. And so, I'm glad that we can be together this morning. I'm glad we don't have a major weather event. It looked like there was going to be one, but it held off, so that is good. Let's just pray. Father, we want to ask you to move in this time. Holy Spirit, what we need is to hear from you. We need to understand your words for us. We need to believe them more. We need to trust them. We need to try them out. But we need you. Show us the things that we need to see. Show us the things we don't want to see, the things that are really wonderful that we see. Show us all of it, Lord. Please guide us. Amen. Well, this week was a big week, especially the tail end of the week. We had Leonard Nimoy, Spock, passed away. So that's a sad thing. The internet almost broke with the black and white llama that escaped and gave MSNBC, CNN, and Fox hours of coverage options that they didn't have prior to those two llamas terrorizing Arizona for a very, very long time. But most importantly, we had the dress. We had the dress. All right, now. Y'all just need to keep it down. We're going to handle this in an orderly manner. And then I'm going to tell you what I think, and that's what's right. All right? So who thinks black and blue, otherwise known as who's wrong? Okay, there we go. Okay, that's fine. You guys can be wrong. It's okay. I remember being wrong a couple of times. It's been like a long time. All right, so who is correct and thinks it's white and gold? There it is. That was actually your cheering. It just sounded like a cheer track. That was a well done, Snow. So, as if that's not important enough, we have even more important things to talk about. And Crystal started talking about them last week. This section in 1 Corinthians 11 through 14, there's going to be a lot of pauses for this. And it's tea, because all the people that I know that sing say I should drink tea and not coffee when my voice is bad. The only problem is tea sucks. So, I do it for you. What's that? I've heard that for a very, very long time, Catherine. Okay, there we go. I don't have enough honey. So, all right, there we go. Really, this section 11 through 14 in 1 Corinthians is talking to the church in Corinth and how they interact with each other. When they're gathered together, when they are just interacting with one another in general, and then how they were to interact with the people of Corinth as well. And last week, Crystal started talking about the idea of gifts of the Spirit. She did a great job. Gosh. That's not good if it's already in. Okay. And so what was going on in the church at the time is, you got to keep in mind, the church was very new. I mean, the church, not just the one in Corinth, but this gathering together of people that followed Jesus, or as we would have been called if we were back in their day, the way at the time. It was how it interacted, what it did, how it worked, how it wasn't supposed to, how it was. All that was very new. And it's almost like when you're a first-time parent of an infant, you don't have enough context to know, is this a trend? Is this meaningful? Is this good? Is this bad? They just weren't sure what was going on. And so there were people in the church in Corinth that were saying, I have this gift from God. Or some would say, I have this gift from Jesus. I have this gift from the Holy Spirit. And that'll become important in a sec. And And then they would try to direct the church, and the church wasn't quite sure what to do. Paul had talked about the gifts of the Spirit, but they had questions that were new. And so he got back with them. And as Crystal said last week, he said he didn't want them to be ignorant of them. And the first thing he did is he gave them a test. All right. He said, you know, either and it's the Jesus is cursed, Jesus is Lord test. And what that essentially and that'll be up on your screen, or that'll be up on the screen. We can just kind of flow through as we go. Kathy, there we go. So therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. He's not saying people that said those phrases, that you're unable to say that phrase. If you are, you know, follower of Jesus, you can't say Jesus is cursed, because I just did. Maybe I'm not. All right. Oh, that really sounded like I wasn't, didn't it? Maybe I'm not. All right. But what he's saying is that there was nobody that denied that Jesus had been crucified, that Jesus had lived, he had been crucified. The only question is, what were the implications of that? And if you believe that he was crucified and that he was the Messiah, then you would say Jesus is Lord. So you'd be a follower of Christ. If you didn't, you thought he was just some guy that had been crucified by Rome, like so many other people were, thousands and thousands of people were, then you would just say he's cursed. There wasn't anything spectacular that happened. It just was what it was. In Deuteronomy 21, it says, if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he's put to death, and you hang him on a tree, and hang on a tree was a phrase that could literally, in some cases, mean what we would understand as hanging, and other times it would mean crucifixion. His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile the land that your Lord. And so that's where they got the idea that cursed is anyone who is hung on a tree. This was a phrase that the Jews and the Corinthians would have been very familiar with. So you give a quick test. Are they a follower of Christ? Okay, if they're not a follower of Christ, then they don't have a gift from the Spirit, because it's when we ask Jesus to be our Messiah, when we say that we want to follow him, and we begin to live that out. The Holy Spirit is fused to our souls the moment that we say, Jesus, I want to follow you. And when the Holy Spirit fuses to our soul, that's when the gifts come. So if they haven't done that, they ain't got the gifts. And then he goes on. Another test is, are they using it for themselves personally? Or are they, you know, for their own personal gain? Or are they using it for others? And in verse 7, and Crystal touched on this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And so if people were using their gifts selfishly, then chances are that wasn't for God. So even if they were a follower, you'd still be selfish. I mean, I've been selfish before. And so he goes on, and then he closes off the section that Crystal dealt with in verse 12. Just as one body, the one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So there was this belief in Corinth at the time that some people's gifts would come from God the Father, and some people's gifts would come by God the Son, Jesus, and then some gifts would come by God the Spirit. And they felt like that was kind of the hierarchy of the whole thing. If God the Father gave you the gifts, then you had better gifts. And so there were these debates about who had the better gifts and who should have them. Should poor people be allowed to have, gifts of leadership in the church? Things like that. I mean, Robbie talked about that very well a couple weeks ago. And so he's just saying, look, the reality is it's the same Spirit gave all of them. There is no difference if you're poor or not. There is no difference even, and we'll see this in a second, if you're male or female. And for us, we can, you know, handle that. Those are things we're more used to. For them, this was a complete game changer. The fact that women would be able to approach God the same way that men, that just hadn't been done. When Jesus died on the cross and resurrected, everything had changed. So then Paul continues. So he gave him this test. Okay, here's how you can know. And then what he did is he said, now here's what would be good for you to understand about the gifts. Just as we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. So what he's wanting them to understand, again, is that there is something that binds us that is bigger than how much money we have, than our gender, than our race. It's bigger than whether we are popular, whether we have a good job or have a good major, or whether we're in a relationship or not. There are all these little things that we use to distinguish value in our world. All this stuff. Even what gifts you have. And some people feel like there's certain gifts that are more valuable. You know, I want to have one that lets me do X, Y, and Z, but if I have to do something else, I don't want that. And so we have all of these ways of attributing value, ascribing value to one another. And he's saying none of that applies. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, slave or free, we're all given the same spirit to drink. Now, again, for us, that's not a big deal. For them, that was a huge thing. A slave and a wealthy person being on the same level with God. We can't just fly over that. This was a big, big deal. We talked about how earlier in Corinthians, especially when it related to women and head coverings, that conversation that we had a number of weeks ago, some of it was a misunderstanding of what Paul said in a letter that they had gotten earlier. And this is the section that Paul's referring to in Galatians 3, 26 to 29. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. See, what they were struggling with and what we struggle with are slightly different, but they're not completely different. What they struggled with was the idea that someone that was not a Jew could be fully in the family of God. I mean, that's the way they referred to it. There were Jews and Gentiles, and Gentiles quite honestly meant everybody else. The idea that a Gentile could say that Jesus is his Messiah, that was scandalous. The idea that a woman could approach God the same way that a dude could approach God. Scandalous that a slave could approach him the same way as somebody that's free. And so even though those aren't necessarily, you know, issues that we deal with quite as much, certainly a couple of them aren't, it's easy to read over that and think, well, that just doesn't apply to us. That's it. No, but what Paul is trying to say, what the Spirit is trying to say through Paul, is there is something that links all of us that would say Jesus is our Messiah. That we need each other. There is not a stratification of value. One of the things that the evangelical church has done is it makes people like me, it elevates us. We get up here, get a microphone, have some tea, you know? And we're seen as something that's different. Yet we're seen as more holy. We're seen as having it all together. We're seen as that. Sometimes we do it with worship leaders as well. And we just kind of elevate certain people, and then someone else that's doing some other job that doesn't get the notice, that doesn't have the time in front of the crowd or whatever it is, they're less. That's something that you and I can do. It's one of the things that we've always sought to do at NLCF to make sure that you know that's not the case. Another way that we make sure it's not the case is we make sure that, you know, as the elder, I just do a really bad job most of the time, and that helps kind of keep it, you know, keep the bar really, really low. Like, oh, Jim can't be better than us if he did that, all right? So, but the reality is we have this way of ascribing value, and what this is about is that is not what we are supposed to do. Look at what Paul goes on to say. Even, so in Christ, sorry, I can't think up here. It's the craziest thing. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So now Paul is going into an illustration. Crystal used the illustration of the orchestra last week really well and talked about how the different gifts work together. And it doesn't matter the level of instrumentalist. If you have a cluster of people and they're all playing different kinds of music, different songs, in different keys, in different ways, then you're not going to really hear what the music can be. And her point obviously was that when we are using our gifts the way that God wants us to, the church can be that. Okay? Now Paul uses an illustration of his own. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Valid point, Paul. Okay? So we're with you. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And what that means a couple of things. That means that, one, he has given each of us gifts that are to be manifested for the common good. The idea is that the gift comes and we most understand it. It's most powerful. It's most impactful when it's going out of us, not just staying in us. And it means that every person that's a follower of Christ who's received those gifts, God sees how yours can be used. It means that in Christianity, this is not a spectator sport where we come and we sit in chairs and we look straight ahead in a comfortably heated room with great sound equipment, speaker whose voice sounds like crap. And we just sit and listen. And then we leave. And we come back the next week and do it again. It means that he has directed how your gifts, how you receive them, and how they are supposed to be used. Just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, where our presentable parts need no special treatment. Now, what it seems like Paul was getting at in those particular sentences was there was this, you know, he's obviously comparing it to the body. There are certain parts that, you know, were fine with showing. I've chosen to show a great deal of the top of my head, and that's the one thing Nathan, we're right there. That's right. You know, and you know, there are not many people that I can point to and give a fist bump, you know, from here in this room. All right, so I'm going to take the opportunity. But there are other parts that we treat more modestly. Our bathing suit squares. You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. And so what he's saying is this. The Corinthian church was dealing with things a little bit this way. There were certain people, there were certain gifts they were more proud of. And there were others that they were less proud of. People that were poor. People that were not spiritually clean. People that didn't have it all together. And they would want to give them smaller roles. They assumed they had smaller gifts. And they would keep them off to the side. And Paul is saying, that is not true. Those gifts that get less notice, God gives more. So you don't have to do anything with people. If you know, one of my gifts is preaching, teaching. That's what this is. And the reality is a public gift. When you do it, if you do it well, people are going to come up and they're going to say, hey, you did a nice job. You know, that kind of thing. And God is pleased when I serve him well and I'm faithful and I use my gift. But then there's some people that do some things, even in this church, that don't get that. People don't notice. They don't see them. And what this is saying is, not only does God see them, there is an additional honor they're going to get because of what they do. I mean, just if we talk about Sunday, if you're on the stud team, can you stand up? Any of the stud teams, stand up. There we go. We got some people. Okay, we got Grant. There we go. And then we've got Kathy on point and click. Kathy does not want to stand up. That is the Do not make me stand up. You don't have to stand up. That's fine. We got David on lights. I don't know where David is. Probably around one of the lights that I can't see past. There we go. Okay, there he is. He's right there. I saw some movement. All right, there we go. We have people that help with hug, that set up the room. If that's you, stand up. If you ever help with hug. That's right. And the guy who's here every single week that has helped us for years with our sound and with the technology that we use so this can be pleasant, Mike Snow. Can Mike Snow please stand up? There we go. Mike did stand up. How clever. How clever. This morning, you don't need to turn me off. In 5 minutes, my voice will just stop working. So, and what it's saying is that we don't look at other people and look at what they have and look at what they do to determine value. That what we do is we say, God, you see me. You have come back for me. And if we're a follower of his, you have forgiven me. You have adopted me and you've given me gifts. And so now, God, what do you want me to do with them? Instead of looking at everybody else, we look to him and see what he wants us to do, how he wants us to use these gifts. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Because if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you, listen to this, now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, the idea when he asks questions like that, it's either a pretty clear yes or no. This is no. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And I love how this ends. A lot of Bibles will separate this. But I love how this line that ends it. And yet, I will show you the most excellent way. Next week we go, or when we come back together again, we go into 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Chapter that's quoted in marriages. Because there's so much love there. See, what he's trying to do is he's trying to say there is not a difference between anybody in this. The thing that levels the playing field completely is, are you a follower of Christ? Because if you are, there is not a stratification of value like we do. There just isn't. So that is what we're talking about. That's what the text is talking about. Now, what we want to do is spend a couple minutes talking about spiritual gifts. Okay, because in this section, really what Paul is talking about is he's talking about unity. He's talking about the fact that we can't value different things. That's what we've been talking about. But this is a section where he lists spiritual gifts, and so it might be nice to talk about them just for a minute. Now we're good. All right. So how can we know what our spiritual gifts are? Valid question. Thank you for asking. All right. Now, in Ephesians 4, there are a number of places in the scripture. Romans is another letter where he does this, where this is getting worse, isn't it? Yeah. So a brave person was like, yeah, it is. Let's just call it what it is. I'm not here to be polite. There we go. There we go. Look, you got to call it. You just got to call it, Corinne. All right. In Romans, we see it. In Ephesians, we see it. In 1 Corinthians, we see it. These things are kind of everywhere. And there's never a point. Sometimes people will look for, okay, what's the total list? Where is the time where Paul lists all of them out? And he never does that. That's not the way that Paul approaches the gifts. He gives examples in each situation. And he doesn't always give the same ones. And, you know, so when you look at all of them that he lists, that could be all the gifts that there are, or there could be more. We honestly don't know. Paul didn't say, this is it. anything else is not it. That's just not the way he wrote this. But in Ephesians 4, there are some gifts that we use. It's a language that we use heavily in our church, and a lot do. And it's kind of the biggest chunking out of the gifts. It kind of breaks it down into five main areas. So Christ himself gave the apostles. So it's the apostolic gift, the prophets, the prophetic gift, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. These are the four biggest chunks. All right, and if you have no idea what your gift is and you're not really sure what to do, then there's some things you can do. All right, there's a website. There we go. Fivefoldsurvey.com. If you jot that down, if you haven't ever done anything with this, what it does is it gives you a bunch of questions. There are only like 60 questions, so it's, you know, it's not going to hit everything perfectly, but it helps you understand maybe which one of those five your gifts are likely in. And if you haven't ever dealt with any of these, it's good. If you have, it also gives a description of each one. So you can see, does this apply to you? If you disagree with it, ask some friends. Now, though, this is a broad thing. Okay, so when we think about it, it's not going to be as specific as if you sat down with somebody for 6 months and you just dove into it and you were, you know, doing that. But it's probably more accurate than which Disney princess are you, those things that are on BuzzFeed all the time. So it's more effective than that. And I personally have a lot of problems. It consistently calls me a bell, and I know I'm Jasmine. I know. I just feel it. Actually, I would have to say probably none of those pictures really looks like me. You know, I'd probably be Rita, the princess with alopecia or something like that. That would be my, look it up, alopecia. It's a thing, and it's the, okay. So anyway, it doesn't matter. That's not, I know, it's sad. No, pattern baldness is a sad thing. So it's not going to be, the fivefold ministry, it's not going to be as specific as other things could be, but it's a place to start, okay? Some other things that you can do, all right? Get as close to the Holy Spirit as you can. If you want to understand your spiritual gift, then would it not make sense that you would spend some time with the Holy Spirit? That we would read the scriptures, that we would pray, and that we wouldn't just do that. We would actively live out the things that we are reading about. The scriptures are not given to us as some sort of encyclopedia of God, a textbook that we read so that we can memorize certain facts and then deliver it on a test. A lot of people in this room, we got that process down. This is something that's meant to be lived. We did a series a lot of years ago in NLCF, and we were talking about the scriptures, and we called it the Gambler's Guidebook. Because the text really doesn't make sense unless you're really willing to risk that it's true. Unless you're willing to say, God, I'm going to get into some situations that if this stuff is not true, I am in a world of hurt. That's when the scripture comes alive. So get close to the Holy Spirit. Begin with what you know, start using it, and see what happens. There's something coming up this week that that some people are going to be helping with. A few weeks ago, I heard, I'm friends with a guy who's part of the Free Thinkers at Virginia Tech. They're a group that would say that faith in a deity is wrong. Some would say it's foolish. Got to know this guy, Brian. And he invited NLCF to be a part of something called the Misconceptions Fair. And so what the Misconceptions Fair is, it's going to be actually right out there, I think, tomorrow from 10 to 4. And it's going to be a chance for, if you have a belief system that you feel like people have misconceptions about, you can put a table out, you can say, here are a couple of misconceptions, and you can interact with people on it. And it was one of those things where, I mean, NLCF is asked to do a lot of things that we just can't always do. Not because they're not good, but we just can't. But this was one of those things I thought, man, we got to do this. We got to get in there. I didn't know much of the details. It's only the second year it's happened. It could be a colossal waste of time. I really do not know. But I knew we needed to get in there. And then over this week, we've been going back and forth with the people that are organizing it to see who else was going to be in it. So I was asking, you know, maybe what other Christian groups, what other groups are going to be in it? And they gave me a list. It's an amazing list. The groups that are going to be in it are the Satanists, all right? Let's see, the Unitarian Universalists, Newman Community, the Catholic Campus Ministry is going to be there. And Father Tom, I really like him, so that'll be good. The Buddhists, the Pagans, I love that. Can you imagine? I so want to meet the people in like the Satanist and the Pagan student group. Like, I want to know who the secretary of the Paganist is. I mean, who's taking the minutes at the Satanist? You know, I'm so interested. That's probably not the best thing to say, but I'm really, really intrigued. And then the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and us. And us. Which one of these is not like the, you know, I mean, it's going to be incredible. But the fact of the matter is that what we saw, we didn't know how things would work out. We weren't sure what would happen. I certainly didn't know the groups that would be involved in it. But we just sensed that God might be up to something. And sometimes to be close to the Spirit, to understand what God is trying to say, you just got to go through the door and see what's on the other side of it. Sometimes you can't push the door open from a safe distance and see the room. And sometimes the lighting's not bright enough. And sometimes we just can't do that. Sometimes you just have to walk through the door and see. And that's what we're doing. So tomorrow from 10 to 4, please pray for us. I got to say, Crystal's going to be there with me for a while. And it's pretty funny. Our reactions were quite different when we heard the groups that were going to be in there. And then there'll be other folks. If you want to swing by, do. Please don't like stare, you know, like snapping pictures, you know. You know, I mean, we're not, you know, that's not. But when would we have a chance? When would we have a chance to talk with a group like this about misconceptions about Christ? There's not a lot I wouldn't do to have a chance to have their ear, even for just a little bit. This is how we're called to live. Sometimes you just got to push through the door and see what's on the other side. So pray for us, 10 to 4. Swing by. Pray for us, 10 to 4. All right. The gifts, realize that the gifts are to be used in community. So get in community. We say this all the time. I don't know you're sick of it. And if everybody did it, I'd stop saying it because I'm a little sick of it too. But not everybody does it, so I'm going to keep saying it until everybody does it. So it's really your fault, not mine. And so if it's, you know, if you're, you know, if you aren't in a group, you know, in a small group with another group, then take a look at our engage groups. If, you know, some folks invited you from NLCF, then you can do that. But we've also got a lot of really, really good campus ministries here. Get involved in one of those small groups because those gifts will come alive in community. They just will. And out of community, you put a very low ceiling on what you can do. Spend time in prayer, privately and in groups. I mean, we've got four times that we meet during the week. Monday is 1 o'clock at the chapel. Tuesday is 9:30 p.m. at the loft. Wednesday is 4 o'clock at the chapel. Did I say Thursdays? Did I say Wednesdays? I don't even know what I'm doing. Thursdays, 8 a.m. at Dietz. It's up. Just read that. I just don't even listen to me. That. You know, our staff has three additional times that we meet for staff prayer. There are, Chi Alpha is Monday through Thursday. Is that right? In our 130 Jackson Street building. It's Monday. And what time? Oh, Monday through Friday. 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. You got a meeting then? You know, they swing on by. I've gone a number of times. And, you know, it's just, but if we want to understand our gifts, we've got to be able to pray to the Spirit who gives them. All right? And connect in prayer individually and together. Okay? So let me pray for us that we would be able to understand how God made us, that we would release the sense of it has to be a certain way. I have to have a certain thing. Or release the idea that not every single person that follows Christ is on the same level. Our value does not come from what we look like and the gifts and the money. Our value comes from the fact that Jesus came back for us. Let's pray. God, we just ask you to help us. We ask you to help us to live this life that you're calling us to live. We ask you to help us have the gifts of the Spirit make more sense. We ask you to guide us as we're trying to take steps. Lord, it's not always easy, but we believe that as we do it, Lord, you are going to reveal yourself to us. You don't tell us it's going to be easy. You don't promise ease. You just promise presence. You promise that you're real and you're there. God, help us to become more and more aware of who you've made us to be. Please. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to take up our offering, and we're also going to take up those info cards. So if you have anything, a prayer request, a thought, if you want to help with sound, lights, anything on there, you got a gift, use your gift. And write it down. We can get back with you, get you some more info, and then we will help with whatever we need. So we'll do that, and we'll have a couple more worship songs. Thank you, guys.